original talk radio station anywhere. We are LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com.
Maxson fans, he says what he wants, ain't holding nothing back. Got the recipe for life, and he's inspiring. He's not scared of any topic, from textile to gossip. Listen and to hear what Max is saying. LA Talk Radio, this is Maxson Friends.
LA Talk Radio, this is Maxson Friends. I am your host, Max Tucci. Welcome back to another edition of Max and Friends here on LA Talk Radio. Well, y'all know that we are going to rock the vote tonight. Oh, God, aren't we just going to rock the vote? Are you all ready to rock the vote? Did you register? Have you voted? Have you done early voting? Well, I'm in the studio now, and I can't wait till y'all are here joining me. So I'm going to give you all a couple more minutes to get here. You know, we got the LA Talk Radio app. I know you all are tuning in on it now. So how y'all doing? And thank you for tuning in on the LA Talk Radio app. It's free, so go get it. What else do I got to tell you all? Did you set your clocks back? Well, I hope so. Now, I know there's a lot of stuff going back and forth with setting clocks back and how people don't want this Tuesday to be a time when we set 50 years back in our lives. We're going to talk about that tonight. We've got Felonious Monk in the studio tonight. Hunter Cross and the divine Nico Bloom is back. So y'all get ready, because whether you're a Republican or Democrat or undecided, and if you still are at this point, then maybe we'll change your mind. If not, then I guess y'all need to take a nap for the next 4 years if you're undecided. But nonetheless, let's get some – you know what I want to play real quick, Ronan? There was a little girl – y'all, this was the cutest thing ever, and I'm feeling just about how little Abigail is feeling. So let's play that for everyone tonight here on Max and Friends. What does Abigail feel, Ronan?
That's why you're crying? Oh, it'll be over soon, Abby. Okay? The election will be over soon, okay?
Okay.
Oh.
Will the election be over soon enough to get a little girl to stop crying? By the way, everyone, she said the name was Bronco Obama. I just thought that was the cutest thing. Anyway, y'all here tonight. Hunter, how you doing, Hunter?
I'm great, thanks.
How you doing, Nicole Bloom?
Wonderful, thank you.
Felonious Monk, what's up, my man?
I'm always good. How you guys doing?
We're ready to rock this show. We're ready to rock the vote. Ronan, let's give him Hot Topics.
Hey, y'all, guys and dolls. Pick a topic and you know we're going to drop it on
We're going to drop it on Max and Friends. Hot topic. Everyone, rock the vote. We've got a full panel here tonight. Now, my panel, I got to let you all know. Let other parties speak. If you want to talk over them, I guess you're going to. But I'm here to just keep everything under control, because I know it's going to get a little bit heated tonight, because I know the personalities that we got in the house tonight on Max and Friends here on LA Talk Radio. Are y'all tuning in? Hit me up on Twitter, at Max Tucci. Let's get interactive. Tweet me, hashtag Max and Friends. Spell it all out, Max and Friends. And of course, at Max Tucci on Twitter. I want to hear what you all need to think. What you all thinking, what you all doing, how you all feeling, what's new, what's not new. But let's get into this right now. I'm going to break you off. I just want to break it out. Let's do this. We already did that. All right. Hunter Cross, I know that you are a Obama fan.
Yes.
Nico Bloom, I know that you are a Romney fan.
That would be correct.
Felonious, I don't know where you stand in all this.
I'm probably side with the little girl. I'm tired of the whole thing.
You're tired of the whole thing. You stop at B and stop at Mitt, right? You're going to have a dual video now. Stop at the both of you.
I'll say this. I don't think that there's as much difference between the two candidates as it appears. And it's unfortunate, because people are now at the point where they hate each other over two candidates who are really a lot more similar than people want to admit.
Yeah. Nicole, how do you feel about that?
Well, I do think there is some differences between the two. One of the things that I like is that Romney has been and proven himself to be a very successful businessman and balanced the budget of a large state, Massachusetts. And I think that's important right now, and I think that's the primary focus, and it should be the primary focus, is to strengthen the economy, because for the last 4 years, it's been at probably one of its worst in history. And I think by having a businessman in there, whether or not you like Romney, it's not a personal thing, but I think he's a businessman, and I think that's what we need to work us out of, or try to work us out of a deficit, and to create jobs. I think that's a big thing that Romney could possibly do, create jobs. He has created thousands of jobs in his work history. So I think that's a positive thing. That's a tremendous difference.
You know what, Hunter, before you get into that, hey, Ronan, can we play, I want to play something, y'all, about, it is an Obama ad where Romney shipped U.S. jobs to China. Nico Bloom just was talking about the jobs right now. Ronan, can we get that clip of the Obama ad where Romney shipped U.S. jobs to China?
I'm Barack Obama, and I approve this message.
Day one, President Romney stands up to China.
But would he? The Washington Post has just revealed that Romney's companies were pioneers in shipping U.S. jobs overseas, investing in firms that specialized in relocating jobs done by American workers to new facilities in low-wage countries like China. Romney's never stood up to China. All he's ever done is send them our jobs.
Hunter, what do you have to say about that?
Well, first of all, let me comment on what Nikki said. We do not need a businessman in the White House. Running a country has nothing to do with running a business. What we need is someone who has leadership skills and who at least makes his points of view well known and stands by them. What we've seen in Mitt Romney is somebody who seems to have gotten closer, and I tend to agree with Filonius that if you looked at them on paper today, they don't seem as far apart as they have been over the last year or so, because Mitt Romney's points of view change depending on who he's talking to. And once he's gotten on the national stage now, where he hasn't had to hold himself out as a severe conservative, as he has indicated he was during the primary, to get the support of the right wings, now he's trying to become more moderate. So he molds himself into to appeal to whomever he's talking to at any given time. He just desperately wants this job. And that bothers me because I don't think that anyone should change their points of view or show a lack of conviction to certain core values just because they want someone to do something for them. So he wants you to vote, so he'll tell you whatever he wants to hear at any given time.
Nick,
I think there's
say?
A. Oh, just let me finish this one point, if you don't mind. No. I think there's a fundamental differences between these two candidates, and the fundamental differences don't have so much with whether they both believe that the economy is important. I think they both do. They may have different ways of going about it. That's probably a given. But I think that things on issues of women's rights, the rights of people to.
We're going to get into that. Now you're being like Romney net right now and trying to step over the moderator. So hold back.
Can I say something?
Nikki, what do you have to say?
Well, as far as people saying, you know, politicians, all politicians have a tendency to flip-flop, and nobody likes that. People like consistent people. I will say that Obama is consistent on one thing that I'm tremendously against, and that is redistribution of the wealth and raising taxes. And we all know that he has created $6 trillion plus added to the national deficit, and that's tremendous. That's more than any president has ever done in the four-year history. $6 trillion to at least a trillion-dollar deficit. So that's whatever, practically a third. I think that he is consistent on that note. The only thing he's consistent on is redistribution of the wealth, and I think that. When you put heavy taxes on small businesses, it doesn't create a growing job economy. It creates a very strapping and restricting environment for business owners when you raise payroll taxes. And this all, the small businesses are the engine that drive America. They are the largest outside of unions, which are government jobs. Outside of the union, small businesses make up most of the
What has Obama done Nikki, to put pressure on small business. I know that that refrain is really common. You hear that a lot on Fox News. But I don't understand, what has he done to small business owners that's put so much pressure on them? And what has he done to redistribute wealth?
Well, it's his blatant and clear attempt to do that. He's having a very, very difficult time doing that, but he makes it clear that he wants to do that. He wants to raise the taxes, and there are additional payroll taxes, and there are extra taxes that small businesses
have. He's reduced payroll taxes 6 times during his presidency. He hasn't raised taxes on small business. It's just a rube that people just seem to like to say. And this whole idea of taxing and raising taxes and burdening small business, it just simply isn't happening.
Hold on real quick. You know what I want to play real quick, and then I want to get Filonius in on this. I want to play the Romney ad that attacks Obama and success. Let's play that.
If you've been successful, you didn't get there on your own. You didn't get there on your own. I'm always struck by people who think, well, it must be because I was just so smart. There are a lot of smart people out there. It must be because I worked harder than everybody else. Let me tell you something. If you got a business, that you didn't build that. Somebody else made that happen.
My father's hands didn't build this company. My hands didn't build this company. My son's team's not building this company. Did somebody else take out the loan on my father's house to finance the equipment? Did somebody else make payroll every week and figure out where it's coming from? President Obama, you're killing us out here. Through hard work and a little bit of luck, we built this business. Why are you demonizing us for it?
We are the solution, not the problem. It's time we had somebody who believes in us. Someone who believes that achievement should be rewarded, not punished.
We need somebody who believes in America.
The idea to say that Steve Jobs didn't build Apple, that Henry Ford didn't build Ford Motor, to say something like that is not just foolishness, it's insulting to every entrepreneur, every innovator in America, and it's wrong. President Obama attacks success, and therefore under President Obama we have less success, and I will change that.
And I will change that. What is everyone listening to, Ronan? Filonius, as an entrepreneur with the Stop It Beeline that you created for yourself, how do you feel about that statement?
I'm going to touch on something real quick that Nikki and Hunter were talking about. I'm going to answer that. As far as the businessman in office and the taxes and who's raising them and who's not, I mean, you know, Mitt Romney was successful in cutting the deficit in Massachusetts. But one thing we've got to remember is he promised not to raise taxes when he was in Massachusetts. And what he did was he closed a lot of business loopholes, which made businesses, small businesses included, pay higher taxes. So he may not have raised taxes in the traditional sense, but taxes went up on small businesses. And that's a bigger problem across the board. Not what he did, but the fact that we're playing these word games. One says he's not going to raise taxes, but he's going to cut some loopholes, which means someone's going to pay more taxes. The other is saying directly, I'm going to raise your taxes. Either way, let's all be realistic here. There's no way to get a $16 trillion deficit under control without raising taxes and without cutting policies. I mean, without cutting programs. Both are going to have to happen. And we can pretend away that it's not. No, if we just cut, if we make it more efficient, that it'll go away. No, you're going to have to raise. We're going to have to pay for it, too. We're saying, well, I don't want my kids to pay for it. Well, then we're going to have to pay for it now. And if we're not willing to pay for it now, then it doesn't matter who the president is. We're just waiting for somebody to tell you, we're going to fix it, and you're not going to have to pay. And neither one of them can do that. Now, as far as the jobs and who built it and who didn't build it, again, it's a wordplay game. There's not a human being, including Steve Jobs, whom we credit for Apple, Henry Ford, who we credit for Ford, who built their business alone. That is a word game that they're playing. You're taking credit from him if you say he didn't build it alone. No, he didn't build it alone. Ford factory workers also helped him build it. As a matter of fact, Ford factory workers created the middle class, the first real middle class this country had. And Henry Ford guided that. Henry Ford said, hey, you know what I can do? I can pay my workers a little more because then they'll be able to afford to buy my cars, which helps my business. Brilliant, but he didn't do it alone. Now, that's one way of saying it. If I say it that way, no one's offended. But if I tell you you didn't build it alone, I don't go into it any further. Now, all of a sudden, he's demonizing me. It's not demonizing, and it's not 100% honest either. There are people who are entrepreneurs who have their own ideas, who get out and make things happen. But you need other people. There's not a one-man business in the entire world. And if you think you're not doing it on the back of the workers and with some help from the government, whether it be, because right now everyone's saying, well, he's making it hard for them to build their businesses. Well, then you do apparently need some help from the government. You need the government to ease up on the legislation and regulations, correct? So we need both of them. We need to stop playing word games and be honest. We're in trouble. We need to cut some things. We need to raise some taxes. We need to get it done. And we need to stop playing dirty politics. And that's why I'm tired of that. I'm feeling like that little girl. I'm tired of both of them because neither of them has said specifically what they're going to do to fix it. They said the other guy sucks and I'm not as bad as him. Vote for me because I'm not as bad as that guy. And it's bullshit.
You know what I want to talk about with you, Filonius? It's all bullshit, but the bottom line is, you know, help build it. Who helped build it? The consumer also helped build it. So where is the consumer in all of this? The people?
I mean, at the end of the day, the consumer has always been the one who's paid for it, and we're guided by what we're told. There's a lot of fear that's controlled what we call the stock market crash and the problems we're having with the economy. A lot of people pretty much have the same amount of money and still living the same way they were living prior to Obama being here. But probably a year or so out before Obama, when Bush was still the president, we started hearing about things going wrong. That's when things started to go wrong, you know, in the car business. I remember that. And it was because we were told certain things were happening. Now, one thing that really did happen was the bubble burst on the housing market. That really happened. Then the banks reacted by taking away secondary loans for cars. That really happened. But when that happened, everyone screamed bloody murder and people stopped spending money at Target. Two things are kind of related, but not completely related. I still have the same amount of money in my pocket, so why am I scared to go buy something at Target? Because we do a lot of fear-mongering. And that's been happening for at least 5 or 6 years, not just during the Obama presidency, but towards the end of the Bush presidency. And, you know, that's where you get your libertarians coming in and saying the Fed has too much control, big business has too much control, Wall Street has too much control. None of that's being exposed. Nobody's voting on those issues either. And unless we're addressing those issues, too, I don't care if it's Romney, Obama, or, you know, Gary Johnson, Virgil Good. Nobody's going to mention that they weren't in any of the presidential elections. But, I mean,
Roseanne Barr.
Roseanne Barr is on that ballot, too, man. But listen,
yeah.
I want to, Nikki, I want to ask you, because I know you love that Romney ad. So what do you feel about that ad that we just played?
I entirely agree. But Bologna's makes some good points as far as, yes, no business is a one-man operation. It takes several people at the top, and it takes lots of people in the middle and in all levels of the business to make a business grow. That is true. Of course, without employees, you can't have a business with just an owner if you don't have employees making the whole thing work. But
So you need the 99% is what you're saying.
Well, I want to get back on something about touching on the libertarian thing and the one main tremendous difference as well between the two is one believes in less government and one believes in more government. Since Obama's president, it went from 35 million people on food stamps and welfare to 47 million. That's a tremendous difference. When you have a government-dependent society, it just weakens the whole society as a whole. Federal government needs to stay out of a lot of people's businesses, personal business and business.
Hunter, what do you think?
Well, there's no question that we have a huge unemployment problem in this country. But I think that what's forgotten and the rhetorical bullshit that you hear about the jobs. You would think that no one in this country was working. You would think that we were all just sitting around. Something, you know, 90% of the country, of those who want to be employed, are employed. So instead, we talk about this 10%, which, of course, I'm not minimizing it. If you're not working, you know, it's a huge problem. And we're having a difficult time in this country in terms of growth to keep up with the number of jobs that we need. But the reality is that 90% of the people in the country are working. 90% of the people in the country are still buying stuff. You go out to the iPhone store or the Apple store, they're lining up around the block to buy phones. People still have money. People still are buying. People are starting to loosen up their purse strings a little bit, and we'll see what kind of a holiday season we have. But the point is that there's a lot of fear-mongering going on, that this whole battle cry of jobs, 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 and, you know, we need to do all this crazy, drastic stuff. We need to cut all these programs. These poor people are draining all of our resources. Well, they're really not. What's draining our resources are this enormous spending on defense. More than any other country in the world, we spend. We spend more than the next top 10 countries.
We need to build some more submarines, don't you think?
Yeah, right. Mr. Romney wants to build submarines. I don't even know which of our enemies have submarines. I don't think Al-Qaeda has submarines. But the point is that the fear-mongering...
Hold on, Thelonious, what were you saying, Thelonious?
Thelonious.
I was just saying the toughest part is a lot of people aren't voting those issues collectively. You have military people who are going to vote defense. If you're cutting the defense budget, they don't want any parts of you. And that's fair, because that's self-determination. If I'm in the military and I'm a career military guy and you're talking about cutting military funding, I'm scared, so I don't want you to do it. And that's the other problem we have when it comes time to vote. There are so many people who have no idea what the real issues are, who have no idea what the economy is. And you made a good point, Nikki, about the unemployment rates, about people who are on government assistance going up. But let's look at that in another context. People are losing jobs. That's going up. It was trending that way towards the end of Bush. It's trended that way all the way through. We're in a recession. That's kind of normal. Now, the other question becomes then. I was going to say real quick that the question, it seems to me, is whether or not we've come out or we're coming out fast enough. And no matter who you talk to, it's still a feel thing. It's speculation. Some people feel, hey, you know what? It took a long time to get into it. It wasn't something we're going to be able to push a button, stop, and then turn around. And then some people say, well, yes, we should, and Mitt Romney can do that. And that's really what some people are voting on. And if that's the case, I'm all for that. Vote for that. But if you're saying, I know for sure that one guy can do it and the other can't, we're lying to ourselves if we know for sure, because there are way too many factors. And the people who are spending money are the biggest factor. And I don't care who the president is, we're going to make a determination about whether or not the economy goes forward. We start spending money, it gets better. We don't, it doesn't. That just seems like it seems common sense, but it isn't, I guess.
Nikki?
Well, I wanted to comment on something that I have always believed. And I said this a couple of years ago on one of our segments, is when you make unemployment 99 weeks, across the board, and you double unemployment benefits, that creates a government-dependent society. And this is a problem we have now. The percentage of unemployment, it varies. There's no way to exactly, they say it's 7.9, it's 8.4. It varies. Maybe it's 10%. We don't know. There's also people that have dropped out and stopped trying to look for jobs. But when you have 99 weeks of unemployment, you have people that feel, why should I go work for $20,000 a year or $30,000 when I can get stay at home and get from the government three-fourths, whatever the number is. I do know the numbers. I know what it maxes out at. But when you have 99 weeks of unemployment, that's 2 years. That's 2 years of people and that is perhaps that's partially the reason why food stamps have gone. People on food stamps have gone from 35 million to 47 million. That's a tremendous jump in the few years, 12 million more government-dependent people. You need to get people off of those welfare rolls. You need to create jobs, and you need to put the unemployment back to 6 months. When you have people that feel that they could depend on the government 2 years, you're creating a government-dependent society.
All right, Hunter, no, Hunter, what do you have to say?
I don't agree with that at all. I think that is utter bullshit, and I think that it really is an insult to people who, the hundreds of thousands of people in this country who have lost their jobs because of companies contracting and because of lack of demand and because of moving jobs offshore. Nikki, I would agree with you if we had all of these jobs available for all these people who are unemployed. If we had enough jobs to go around, then and people still weren't taking those jobs because they believed that they'd be able to get more because of the government services are available. If there were jobs available for those people and they weren't taking them because they'd rather stay at home and collect a check, I would buy it. And that might be the case if we someday come to a point where we have a condition like that. But we aren't there. What happened is the economy contracted and millions of people lost their jobs because companies decided to discontinue those jobs. They terminated people. So those people, what are we supposed to just let them starve to death? We have the resources to support them.
I want to say something about, I have unemployed friends and they tell me, I'm not working for $10 an hour. I'm not working for $12 an hour because they think they're worth $100 an hour. I know other people. I went to get air put into my tire, and the guy worked full-time at Mavis. He's got a second job, and he told me he just bought a house, and he might get a third job. I know people. I know another girl that answers phones for a company, and she got a part-time job at the mall in the evening, and she said, that's because I want to buy Louis Vuitton, and I want to buy my something. So there are people in this country that believe in the work ethic, and there are people that would never take those jobs that would ship overseas. They wouldn't work for $10 an hour. They wouldn't hold two jobs. They'd rather depend on our government, and I find that completely disgraceful.
I just don't think that's what's – but that's not what happened.
Well, we're talking about –
just that happened all by itself ignores the fact that we've lost millions of jobs.
What did you say, Polonius?
The other thing is, they're lazy people, before, whether they're 99 weeks or 6 weeks, or 6 months. They're going to be lazy
exactly.
people regardless. But the other problem is, and I do understand this, if they're 99 weeks, they're going to get more money than they would if it was 6 months. So screw them. If they're going to be lazy, let them be lazy for 6 months and then get back to work. But here's the thing. here's the thing that I think is weird about that whole scenario. The president, according to Mitt Romney, the government does not create jobs. That's what was said during several debates. That's what was said multiple times throughout the campaign, that the government doesn't create jobs. As a matter of fact, the question was, the point was made because there were government jobs being created and not jobs in the private sector. And they said, hey, that's wrong. You shouldn't be doing that. Let the private sector handle it. So immediately after, when it becomes time for the presidential debates and it's Mitt Romney versus Obama, he says, I'm going to create 12 million jobs. My plan will create 12 million jobs. The problem is, again, it's still speculation because we gave the banks a bailout. We gave them the extra money that they needed, and they didn't lend it. So you can give these companies all of the incentives you want to, and the bottom line is going to be they're going to make a business decision. If it makes more sense for them to keep the money for themselves and they found out, hey, you know what, I can create this product, produce this product at this price, with this workforce, without putting anybody else in the workforce and take this government money, then that's what I'm going to do. What
that's
we
right.
need to do is
it's
make
demand.
It so
demand
that
the is what creates jobs.
Demand creates jobs. It doesn't.
That's
and,
right.
and I'm not saying that, again, I'm not saying that Barack Obama is necessarily going to do that or Mitt Romney isn't, but I'm saying the rhetoric right now. It's just bullshit. It's all bullshit.
You're not going
to
create demand.
Hold on.
If you scare the shit out of people and tell them
here's
that the
economy
is going in the dumper.
But the bottom line is all of this, too. Even if we created 12 million jobs, we still need to create 14 million more. It's like putting a drop into the ocean. It makes no sense. If you're going to create jobs for everyone. It's an impossible task. But everyone, if you're tuning in tonight on Max and Friends, you're listening to Felonious Monk, Hunter Cross, Nico Bloom. We're talking about rocking the vote. Well, we haven't got there yet. We're getting caught up. This is the problem. We're getting caught up in all of the other bullshit that's out there, and we're spinning. We're like dreidels. We are on Hanukkah here. We are just spinning the dreidel. We're spinning the top, and we're going round and round in circles because that's what everyone has been doing in this country for the last 12 years is going around in circles, and nothing gets done. You know, there's that ad right now going on with China, and what is it, whatever the year is, 2035, and how China owes us, and they own us, and they're all laughing at us. I'm scared that that's really going to happen. So will the next 4 years protect us from that not happening? We're going to find out in a minute. What is everyone listening to, Ronan? LA Talk Radio, this is Max and Friends. I'm your host, Max Tucci. Thank you all for tuning in tonight. Hit me up on Twitter, at Max Tucci. Felonious Monk is on Twitter right now, too, so hit him up if you want. Felonious underscore Monk, and we'll tweet you back. We're a live, interactive show. We thank you for tuning in. If you missed any portion of this show and you want to kind of hear the facts again of my great panel tonight, then go to the latalkradio.com page, find the Max Tucci page there, and we've got 5 years of archives there. So don't just stop at this show. Go listen to Lisa Lampanelli. Go listen to some Housewives, and go listen to some other political shows that we've got there. So all that aside, now I want to hear your point of view, because otherwise we can have this conversation, everyone can be battling each other. But I want to know, Nikki, why should people vote for Mitt Romney?
Okay, well, it's actually, if everyone's been following or listeners, it's pretty close.
Listen, hold that thought, because I know you're going to hold that thought, but we've got a caller, so let's take a caller, speaking of listeners. Hey, caller, you there?
Yeah.
Who's this?
Hey, this is Tellus. I'm calling from Flint.
What's going on? What's your question for my panel?
Nothing. I was just calling to say what's up to you guys. Just letting you guys know I'm listening out over here in Michigan.
Cool. You like the show so far? Who are you voting for? You going to tell us?
Well, I'm thinking about voting for Obama. Got to make sure I get everything together, y'all.
All right, well, if you stay tuned to this show, maybe by the end of it, you'll have a definite who you're voting for. Thanks for listening in Michigan.
You're one of the undecideds. How about that? That one exists.
And we got them here.
There's actually an undecided.
So stay tuned to the show, and what we'll do is hopefully you'll change your mind by the end, and you'll have a little more definite answer. But, Nikki, why should people, like this call that we just had from Michigan, why should people vote for Mitt Romney?
Well, the last 4 years, to quote Obama, he gave himself an incomplete on the last 4 years. He hasn't achieved things that he said he was going to achieve. He came in with a long list of things, and he hasn't done anything. He bashed the administration prior to him, and people voted for Obama because they want to change. And I think that the country is probably at one of its lowest points and worst points, and I think that a new person needs to be put in there to try and change that, because 4 more years of his attempted change, it doesn't take 8 years to make a change. We gave him 4 years to make the change. He didn't make a change for the better. He made a change for the worse, and numbers show that. Numbers in the polls, we have less than 36 hours until we will know, and the numbers are pretty close.
But, Nikki, listen, here again, we're bashing Obama. Hunter, hold on a second. Nikki, what I've got to ask you, why should people vote for Mitt Romney? I don't want to hear what Obama didn't do.
Okay.
What is Mitt Romney going to do?
I do strongly believe that as a businessman and being a governor of Massachusetts, where he did balance the budget for the Olympics, had a surplus, I do believe that the man who has created jobs, and we need a change. I think we need a change, and I do believe that we need a businessman in there, and I do think he's the man for a job. And I don't think I'm the only one that feels this way, because it's a very close election. It's going to be a very close election. Extremely
it's going to be very close.
Close.
Listen,
in
you know
fact,
what?
The fact of the vote, if we voted today, all the polls show that Romney would win by the popular vote, but we all know that you need to...
Listen, if you want to go to polls, if you want to talk about polls and the popular vote, 31 million people follow Obama on Facebook and 11 people follow Mitt Romney. Let's not talk about polls. I want to talk about what Newt Gingrich has to say about Romney. Hit it, Ronan.
Mr. Speaker, you were riding, though, atop of the polls, and after millions of dollars were spent on your record, you've kind of had a spectacular crash in the polls. And I want to ask you, because just the other day on the campaign trail, you talked about that. You scolded Mitt Romney, his friends who are running this super PAC that has funded that, and you said of Mitt Romney, somebody who will lie to you to get to be president will lie to you when they are president. I have to ask you, are you calling Mitt Romney a liar?
Yes.
You're calling Mitt Romney a liar?
Well, you seem shocked by it. I said, yes. I mean, what else could you say?
Why are you saying he's a liar?
Because this is a man whose staff created the PAC. His millionaire friends fund the PAC. He pretends he has nothing to do with the PAC. It's baloney. He's not telling the American people the truth. It's just like his pretense that he's a conservative. Here's a Massachusetts moderate who has tax-paid abortions in Romney Care, puts Planned Parenthood in Romney Care, raises hundreds of millions of dollars of taxes on businesses, appoints liberal judges to appease Democrats, and wants the rest of us to believe somehow he's magically a conservative. I just think he ought to be honest with the American people and try to win as the real Mitt Romney.
What do you have to say, Hunter?
You know, I tend to agree with him. Not so much on the liar part. Let me just put that aside. I think everyone can make up their own decision about the things, whether his flip-flops are lies or whether they're just changes of points of view. But I really wish it would be much more interesting race if we had a Mitt Romney who really we could identify his core beliefs, that we could identify what he really wants to do and the direction he wants to take this country, and it was all actually upfront and honest, and we could have a real debate about it. Unfortunately, I don't think we've really had that. You know, one of the things I heard Nikki mention that I think needs to be addressed is the whole idea of blaming Bush. I don't blame Bush for anything. I blame the American people for electing that man for 8 years. But the reality is that if I were to borrow your car, for example, and I were to take your car and for 4 years or so or 8 years, I would run it up over the curb and I would just trash it. I would park it in the dirt and I would use cheap gas and I would never change the oil. And then I drove it around, beat the shit out of it, and then I parked it back in your driveway. And that even though you're driving it for the next 4 years and you're having it repaired, it's still a piece of shit, and it still won't start properly, run properly, because I took such bad care of it for 8 years. Now, is it your fault, or is it my fault that the car runs like shit? And I think that's what we've got with Obama. He took over this car that was beat to shit by George Bush's administration for 8 years, and he's been trying to fix it, and we've had steady growth in the economy, and all of the indicators are on the upswing, and even though it's still on the upswing, this car still sucks. And it's not because of Obama's failed policies. It's because his policies haven't been able to keep up with the destruction that was caused by this country during the previous 8 years. It's not a matter of blame. It's a matter of facts. That these are the facts on the ground. This is what happened to this country. We had a real estate crash. We had Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac were right, artificially again, inflated. I mean, there was a fucking mess. So
yeah, no,
once
it is a mess,
he took over, he's had to try and fix it. It's not been as fast as we'd like. That's all it is.
All right, Nick, you're here, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So, listen, Felonious, I know you want to get on this. What do you have to say?
It's so much misinformation and information that's put out that's phrased and contexted in a way that you don't know what the hell they're talking about. I think the one thing about Newt Gingrich, and I think he's a brilliant man. I also don't think he's a very – I don't know about his character, but I think he's a very intelligent man. And one of the things that he pointed out, if we're going to run on Newt Gingrich's, or if we're going to run on Mitt Romney's Massachusetts record, which is not a bad record, by the way, but I think when we bring up the Olympics, we have to admit that he used a lot of government money there. So there's some contradictions in the things that we're giving him credit for. If we're giving him credit for what he did in Massachusetts, he did that as a very moderate Republican. He did that by definitely reaching across the aisle and giving liberals positions. That's actually the truth. So what you're saying is the Mitt Romney that was in Massachusetts is very close to the Barack Obama that's in the White House now. So if we're going to run that guy, then you've already got that guy in office. If you're going to run the conservative Mitt Romney, then the conservative Mitt Romney is not going to do what he did in Massachusetts, because he would not have done several of the things that he did. They were way too conservative for even his policy. So the toughest part is there are 75 gazillion blogs out there. Billions of dollars have been spent on this election. During the time, might I remind you, that we're allegedly in so much debt, and all these big business people have all this money to spend on super PACs for both sides, but they don't have any money to help rebuild this economy and put those back into jobs in their own companies. If you've got $6 billion to donate to an election campaign, and you're not putting it back into your business where you could get people back working, what you're telling me is it's more important for you to buy this election than it is to get this economy back running. So I don't really care about the ads. I'm tired of the ads. I wish they just
I got you with that. I'm with you. But what I want to talk, wait, hold on. No, what I want to talk about real quick, super PACs. We also just had a super storm right now. So that affected New York. We're going to talk about that in just a minute because I got a clip here where a Republican actually praises Obama. Ronan, hit it.
I have to say the administration, the president himself, and FEMA Administrator Craig Fugate have been outstanding with us so far. We have a great partnership with them, and I want to thank the president personally for his personal attention to this.
And that was Governor Chris Christie. Hunter, what do you have to say?
Well, I think that, you know, we finally have seen an instance where a Republican or somebody who has been very vocal about his point of view about this race has kind of taken time out and stepped back and said that when you actually are cooperating and when someone does do something right, you just stand up and you say that they've helped and that they did the right thing rather than looking for a way of bashing them on something. I think Governor Christie deserves some credit for being nonpartisan, at least in a situation I think that deserves nonpartisanship.
Nikki, what do you have to say?
I want to say something about our media, how biased it is about that.
No, I want to hear what you have to say about Chris Christie.
We're moving on from the media.
All right.
I have two things to say. One is on this Hurricane Sandy and federal relief coming in, and the media, everywhere you look in the newspapers, on the TV, they show Christie and Obama walking, hugging. It's like he's endorsing him. I see that. Okay, so people see that and say, oh, well, he must be this wonderful president. Look at this Republican who's so anti-Obama. Now they're working together. It's bipartisan. And, you know, something that's been brushed under since the hurricane has happened in the last week, the Benghazi issue, where it took 2 weeks for the president of the United States to admit that it was a terrorist attack.
That was not 2 weeks. Hunter, inform her.
Well, he said that it was a terrorist attack the next day after, right in the Rose Garden.
This was a debate. That was during the debates. That was already settled.
And who cares? Who cares what he calls it? He could have called it a garden party. I don't give a shit. People are dead, and that's what matters. Who cares what he calls it?
Four of our military, and they blamed it on it was a reaction to some video.
It was a reaction to the video. But I don't understand. What does that have to do with anything? Why is Benghazi, other than the fact that it's a sexy story, why is Benghazi a campaign issue? What does that have to do with anything?
At our embassies in other countries, when our embassy military people didn't have protection and they asked for protection.
All right. You know what? When Ronald Reagan was president, they drove car bombs into the dormitory of our military in Beirut and killed all of those soldiers. And now, you know, he took a lot of shit for that too. But what we do is we don't elect people on the basis of one international incident say as a result of one international incident, this is not a qualified individual.
International incident when he went and meet with Benjamin Netanyahu. And he came here to be on David Letterman. These are international issues.
Listen, we can talk about a national issue when Clinton was in office and the first bombing of the World Trade Centers happened, but that's not going to get us voting this week. So the point of this show is to get people to vote, and arguing here is exactly what the commercials are doing. It's exactly what the people are doing. It's exactly what the politicians are doing. Everybody's fighting in this fucking world, and nothing gets done because everybody wants to blame everybody for all the bullshit that's going on. Take responsibility on both parties, and if you want to help this country, help this country. Cut the bullshit. The past is the past. We are right now where we're supposed to be, and how can we move forward? And I'm not saying that that's pro-Obama, nor am I saying it's pro-Mitt Romney, but how can we move forward? And even though forward is the word that Obama's using, Felonious, how can we move forward?
Well, one of the things that Mickey brought up, and it's a good point. It's a Republican point, but it's a good point. The point is there are two groups that are trying to control the media. And they're trying to control the images that you see. And the fear on the Republican side is that seeing Governor Christie and President Obama together, seeming to get along and working together to help rebuild New Jersey, is a bad image for the Republican side, because it appears that there are powerful Republicans that like Obama. Let's all be realistic. These are adult men who have a huge problem. New Jersey was destroyed. And I don't know if there's any Jersey listeners here, but I spent time on the Jersey Shore. I spent a lot of time in Newark. I love Cory Booker. I think he's a great person. He's doing a lot of hard work out there right now after the storm. But here's the real thing. What did they want Governor Christie to do? Did they want him to go, thanks for all of the help. Thanks for cutting through the red tape and making sure that we got money immediately. Thanks for getting out here personally yourself and coming by and checking and making sure things were getting done in the state. But I still hate you and I hope you lose the election. That would have been disingenuous at a time where people's lives are in the balance and it's not a time for politics. So when people watch those videos and those clips of them together, I hope they're not thinking about the election. I hope what they're thinking about is I hope the people in New Jersey and New York are getting themselves taken care of. That's what I hope they're concerned about.
Absolutely.
We politicize everything. We're politicizing
Absolutely.
Benghazi and blaming people for Benghazi when the blame is on the terrorists. And yes, the day after, when the first press conference was said, he said, we will not stand by and watch acts of terror. Now, if for 2 weeks after that, there was debate as to what caused it and what the motivation was, okay, whatever. But the day after he said that was a statement made. The very next day, it happened. My point is, irrelevant because during George Bush's presidency, 9/11 happened in George Bush's watch, and there was intelligence prior to that was going to happen, and we reelected George Bush because we think he did a good job handling it. So it's not whether or not he knew in advance. It's not what he called it the day after. It's whether or not we addressed it, whether or not we handled it, whether or not we get the job done. Now, here's the other problem. How many people think that's a votable issue? If it's the economy, then I don't care what happened in Benghazi. If it's going to be foreign policy, then I don't care what's happening with the economy. And if it's both and we're balancing them out, let's stop taking character shots at people we don't know. I don't know Mitt Romney. I don't look at him and go, I think he's a horrible person, because I don't know him. I don't know him. He might be a good guy. Kids seem to love him. He's got 5 kids. That tells a lot to me. Barack Obama might be a wonderful guy. Neither one of those things matters when it comes time to vote. The problem I have is there are still 4 people who legitimately have, based on being on the ballot, a shot at winning, and 80% of this country has no clue who they are. The system is flawed, and you have to get out and vote because you have to have your voice heard. When there are 100 or 80 million people who are determining who wins the election, and $6 billion is spent on negative ads so those 80 million people get out and vote, there's a whole bunch of marginalized people who aren't involved. And there are a whole bunch of people who should be involved in the election process who are more directly affected who are not voting. It's the people who are unemployed, the people who can't get to the polls, the people who are struggling to make ends meet who aren't voting. That's who's not voting, and that's who it affects the most, and they know the least. They're the least involved, and those are the people they're not pandering to. They're never pandering to the poor because the poor don't move the needle. The poor don't pay enough taxes. They don't care about them. So we're getting closer and closer to a Karl Marx bourgeoisie versus the proletariat. Nobody sees it coming, and then you're going to have a rise in communism, and then what happens? Come on, people. The bottom line is, vote. Get out there, vote. Arm yourself with some information, and don't get your information from a 30-second ad, because there's nothing you can learn in a 30-second ad that's realistic enough or important enough to change your life. Get out there,
Hunter.
Google this shit. Everybody's policies are online.
Absolutely. Hold that thought, Hunter, real quick. What I want to talk about, we spoke about New York, and, you know, I'm a New York everyone, so I got to send my prayers and love to everyone out in New York, Staten Island. Everyone's leaving Staten Island out of the picture. New Jersey, Connecticut, we love you all. We're thinking about you. You know, you're going to get back together. I just hope this snowstorm doesn't come. Now, what this brings to the fact, and then we're going to have to go because, you know, where time is up here, and whether it's up for Obama or not, Tuesday, hopefully we'll decide, hopefully not being the proper word, but we'll decide. And the point is that with this whole outage and power outage and all of this nonsense going on in the East Coast, there could be a possibility that Congress could change Election Day, and that in Connecticut alone, 95 polls won't be open and operating. In New York, 400,000 people will not be able to vote. Do you think that this storm is going to affect Election Day, Hunter Cross?
Well, I think that it's going to affect it to the extent that some people won't be able to vote who might otherwise have voted. I don't know. Statistically, New York and New Jersey would typically be blue states, so I don't know whether or not a loss of 400,000 votes is enough to shift that. But it'll have an effect, not so much because of the politics of it all. I mean, I certainly would hope not. And I really don't think that the whole Obama you know, and Christie thing is going to mean a whole lot. But I don't think that that matters one way or another. But I think that there will be some people who will be disenfranchised because they can't get to their polling place or because they've got things that are more important to them. And I think that because there are so many people who won't be able to get to the polls, it makes it even more important for the people who can still get to the polls, who might otherwise decide, oh, you know, my state typically goes this way or my state typically goes that way, so I don't have to bother to vote. You know, Scott Brown got elected in Massachusetts and took the seat of Ted Kennedy, who had had that seat for decades. And why did that happen? It happened because they had a Democrat running in that race who really didn't believe it was the tortoise and the hare situation. And the tortoise, Scott Brown, overtook the hare because the hare was caught asleep. So if you're a Democrat and you support President Obama and you decide, well, my state typically goes Democrat, so I don't have to vote, well, think again. Because there may be hundreds of thousands of people in your state who can't get to vote, and so your man might not get elected. So mm-hmm. I think that's important for everyone who has the ability to get to the polls, whether you're an Obama supporter, whether you're a Roseanne supporter, or whether you're a Romney supporter, that you get out and you just cast your vote. It's a good feeling. It makes you feel like you're a part of the democracy that you live in, and whether or not it matters in your state or not, I really don't think matters. What matters is you get out there and you participate, and you talk to people in other states.
Absolutely. Hold that thought. Listen, we got to wrap this show up, everyone. I thank you for tuning in to Max and Friends tonight. Before we go, I'm going to give each of my wonderful panelists tonight the opportunity to explain very shortly in about 30 seconds why we should either vote for Mitt Romney or for Barack Obama. I'm going to start with Felonious Monk. Tell us what you think.
I really don't care whether you vote for one or the other. I want you to vote. I want you to vote this time. I want you to vote for your local representatives even more so than the president. I think we talk about the country in terms of it being a whole, and we forget that there are 50 states, and those 50 states are comprised of cities. And, you know, New York is way different than Michigan. What's going on in Detroit is completely different than what's going on in Harlem. And so with that being said, as important as the presidential election is, it's very important for you to get out, get involved in your own community, get involved in your local politics, know who the people are, know the things that are guiding what's happening there. Get involved in that. And I think you'll see less emphasis on the big government, because that's a big fear from the Republicans. And it's a legitimate fear. The bigger the government is, the harder it is in some cases. So get involved in your local government. Build your state up. Build your state up where you live locally. Take care of your house first. Take care of your community second. Take care of your state. And we can get some things done. But definitely vote. Don't say your vote doesn't count. Every one of us counts, because every one of us is being affected.
Nicole, what do you have to say?
Well, I do have to say I agree with Hunter, and I agree with Polonius on both making the point that if it's your right to vote, it's an important right to vote. No matter, you know, one thing that makes this country great is we have the freedom to pick our leader, which a lot of countries don't have that. So that's important, whatever anybody's belief is, to go out and to vote. In fact, I'm going to be out of the country on Tuesday, and I cast my vote. I did an absentee ballot weeks ago as soon as I found out I was going to be out of the country. It is so important, and I'd like to point that Polonius made on the local level, because a lot of the local leaders do become Senate and Congress, play bigger roles at some point to run for president as well. So it is really extremely important to stand behind your local leaders. That is so important, and a lot of people don't put enough emphasis on that. So I do appreciate that fact. And as Hunter said earlier, it is important to go out and vote. Don't just sit home and think, oh, I don't have to. And that is a good point. Hunter and I disagree not on many things, but I do agree on that. And I would say to everybody, go out on Tuesday, cast your vote, and we will have to wait and see, because, again, it is an extremely close election.
Hunter?
I think that what we need to do here is to avoid focusing on these individuals. And I think look at the bigger picture. Look at the people behind these people and what they stand for, and whether those people represent the direction that you think this country should be going in. I'll give you an example. Before this next term of president is over, not Obama's, but whoever wins this particular election, whoever wins – Ruth Bader Ginsburg, Supreme Court Justice, she'll be 83 years old. Anthony Kennedy, he'll be 80 years old. Stephen Breyer, he'll be 79 years old. There's three really elderly Supreme Court justices who could either die in office or who might decide they want to retire. And that means that the next president will be able to decide who fills those seats. And when we have issues like the human rights issues, like gay marriage, like abortion, Mitt Romney has indicated that he supports the overturning of Roe v. Wade. And for those who may not understand it, Roe v. Wade is a Supreme Court of the United States decision that legalized effectively abortion and prevented states from outlawing it. They held that it was a constitutional right for a woman to be able to terminate a pregnancy. Now, if you overturn that by packing the court with right-wing conservatives who believe that there is no constitutional right to abortion, that means that various states will be able to outlaw it. That is not – I am a pro-choice person, but I happen to be a pro-life person. And what I mean by that is if I get to choose, I would do everything I could to choose life. And I think that everyone should have the opportunity to make the choice between whether they want to carry a pregnancy to term or whether they don't. And I'm not trying to use this as the litmus test for who you vote for. But what I'm trying to suggest is that there are two camps out there that you're voting for, not just Mitt Romney and Barack Obama, but you are voting for a point of view. And if you vote for Mitt Romney, you are voting for a point of view that wants the government to be able to tell you who you can marry. It wants the government to tell you whether you should have a baby or whether you should be able to terminate that child if you, for whatever reason, can't. And then you have
another camp that wants
the other side. So I think that if you want to vote for a progressive nation that values the rights of the individuals, interestingly enough, that's the Democratic Party, and I think you need to support Barack Obama.
All right, listen, well, like I said, we got to wrap it up. If you all wrapped it up, you wouldn't have to talk about abortion. But what else I got to say? Look at South Africa, everyone. South Africa, Nelson Mandela, they were a country of – I mean, they're still a country in sadness and happiness. It represents almost America. And the point is that the people went out and they waited in lines to vote. What line are you going to wait in this Tuesday election day? Is it going to be the line to vote? Or is it going to be the unemployment line? On that note, everyone, Ron Paul, do you listen to Max and Friends?
I do.
Thank you all for tuning in. We hope we clear some things up. Felonious Hunter, Nicole Bloom, we're going to talk to you. Nikki, have a safe trip. Love you all for listening, and have a great week, and take life to the max. Good night, everyone.